very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Run Through. I'm your host and co-host.
I'm your host.
Adam Rippon. I'm here with Ashley Wagner and Sarah Hughes. And everyone's laughing at me because I'm covering my teeth because right before we recorded, I said, wouldn't it be amazing if I had a blue candy cane and now everything inside my mouth is the color of blue from all the teeth I have to my tongue.
The roof, the tongue, all of it.
I've actually never seen a mouth more blue.
No, it is really like...
Oh my God, it's shocking.
I need to know the brand of candy so I can avoid it.
Sweet Tart.
Oh, well, that actually adds up.
Oh my God, I can like taste that.
It's so
you
good.
Say that.
Yeah. It's so
I can
delicious.
Taste the food coloring.
Yeah, no, it's so good. The B12... Whatever color they use. It's B12 and red 40.
The vitamin.
B6.
You want the dye that they're going to make illegal soon.
Exactly. Yeah. I just wanted it one more time before it goes away.
Yeah.
Now, I need to, we need to speak of a vent. Of a vent. Of
a
not,
vent.
Of an event that happened this past week.
Which one?
Yeah.
The Grand Prix final.
I really wasn't sure where you were going with that. So
yeah.
I was figuring it out as we were going.
Yeah, I think we should talk about the Grand Prix final. How much of it did you guys get to watch?
I watched every single skater.
So did I.
So did I.
Yay, that's great.
I know.
I have to say that this Grand Prix final.
This is why I love the Grand Prix final.
Yes.
Like,
it's so accessible.
It's so compact.
There should be six skaters.
I know.
In every event.
I know.
I don't need to see 12 of anything.
No. Or 24. Really? Just six.
Or 40?
No.
No,
no, no, no.
Certainly
just
not
six.
40. Certainly not.
I do want to say that this Grand Prix final felt like a pre-Olympic Grand Prix final. Like, I felt the drama.
100%.
I felt the stakes.
Oh, my God.
I saw the skating. This, we are in for, I keep thinking it's
it so
and
good.
Feeling it. This Olympics is
it.
Going to be amazing.
It's so
going
to be really good. Yes.
The vibes were high.
Yes. And
I
low.
I was excited. And low.
And low.
And low.
Yeah. But in like a highway.
Yeah.
In a just like, ooh.
Intense.
Kind of a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intense on all ends of the spectrum.
For
Does
sure.
anyone have a big lean on what we want to talk about first?
I want to start with women.
Great.
I was going to say the same.
Let's start with women. Okay, great.
Yeah. Because I feel like dance is going to take up some time.
Yeah, I think pairs will take up a little time, actually.
Pairs will take up some time, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So let's talk about women. Ashley, what was your... standout here?
Well, okay, I kind of caught myself today. I was texting someone saying, I'm so glad Amber had a bad skate. And then I went, bad?
I mean, yeah. Right. Bad? Just didn't do her triple axel. Bad.
Literally, that is it.
Mm-hmm. And got almost 70 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. How crazy this women's event was.
Totally.
Like, what? That is what makes me so excited for the Olympics, you guys. I cannot wait. I mean, the short program.
Yeah, elaborate on the, I'm so glad she had a skate like that. Maybe we're not calling
right,
it
right,
bad.
Right.
Elaborate
so it was not,
on that.
Right. It was, I'm so glad she had a skate like this because I feel like she needed to kind of take a little pressure off of herself, you know, going into this reigning Grand Prix final champion, really needed to just take some pressure off of herself. And so also I think needed to take some pressure off of the triple axel. I think she needed to make a mistake. I think she needed to kind of almost wake herself up from this perfection and remind herself that she's human. I think it's a good thing for her. It kind of reminds you that you have to stay alert, stay awake. She is an athlete where you can read her face. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That
totally.
Short program, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
She went out and I was like, shit.
No, yeah, you can you can see it like in her posture too, not just her face. Like you like she everything is available for us to see.
Yeah.
It's on her face, it's in her shoulders. It's you know what I mean? It's like you can
I wish figure skating was like a heavily involved betting sport.
I feel like we need to get, you know what we need to do on like a TV, like Peacock should do this, like a simulcast where what they do is get one of those body language experts from People Magazine.
Ashley. They get Ashley from People Magazine.
Ashley, we're doing this on Peacock during the Olympics. I'm going to put you in the bottom corner and we just watch people warm up and you say,
like, look at her shoulders.
This is what
look at her shoulders.
They're going to do. Look at them. Honestly, there's a lot you
give
can
read
into
Give me one of the,
it.
What do they call those? Where you have the pens and you draw on the TVs.
Oh, there's yeah, like a name telestrator. For those. You can telestrate it.
I will literally draw stick figures.
Yeah. No, you can see people like, and I think also there are people that you know that what they look like before they skate is an indicator, and there are people where you know it doesn't mean anything and anything could happen. Like, I feel like in the men's events, there's more guys who on the warm-up will just, like, splat all over the place, and it doesn't mean anything.
It means
anything.
Nothing.
No, it means nothing to them. They're just like, it's another day. It's another 6 minutes out of my life. I'll see you in 10 minutes, and I'll be fine.
And
I'll
I'm
be
good.
Fine.
Yeah. And
I hate that. That's what I hate
so
about the men's
So we can't do
event.
Body language expert for the men, but we could very much do it for the women.
Can I ask you guys a question? Were the men like this when I was competing?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I just did not.
I mean, think of like Shoma Uno competed at the time you competed. Like he always like, I could never tell by his warm up what he was going to do.
Think of Patrick Chan.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. I guess. Yeah.
No, it was always like this.
Chaotic.
Yeah.
Men will men.
Yeah.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys. And they'll be horrible for 6 minutes straight. And then they'll kind of pull it together 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And make a world record.
Yeah. But
that's
wait, let's.
So true.
That is so
but
true.
But that is neither here nor there. That's somewhere else.
That's later.
That's like in 15 minutes from now.
Stick with us. Yeah,
I want to say a few things. One, I wanted to say something about Mona Chiba in the short program, where this was the first time I ever saw her skate this program. And I was like, okay, she's acting like everyone around her is like, what club should we go to? And she said out of the corner of her mouth, I know a place.
Adam,
I texted Caitlin Weaver and said,
she knows where the club is.
I texted Michelle and I said, Mona Chiba is like fully winning me over the most she ever has in this short. I'm like amazed that we all separately had that observation.
Yeah. It was
it was electric.
She had worked with Caitlin the week before.
Good. Okay.
It
was obvious.
A huge difference.
It was so obvious.
It made a huge difference.
Caitlin needs to get her ass back to Japan.
She needs to move there until February.
Yeah.
Just stay.
I mean, it made a huge difference where I was like, she kind of feels like she's feeling what she's doing.
No, I know. I couldn't believe the like feeling that I all of a sudden was like, whoa. I felt like I saw her in a totally different light.
She was having a good time.
Yes.
Yeah, she was awesome.
That good time did not last a long
time. She had one good time.
Sucked.
And then she had one bad time.
Speaking of athletes where you can tell what's going to happen, she went out for that free skate and I was like, oh,
she looked off from the beginning.
So
from the starting pose. Like you could feel that.
You could tell she had a long time to sit and wait and think.
But it felt like she looked just as scared out of her mind before the short. But it's like the long was just too much. Like it was just being in first, being like knowing the door was wide open. It was just like, I think
as is our custom, by the way, we've 10 minutes into talking about the women's event. I will say that the women's event results were... Alyssa Liu won the event. Ami Nakai got second. Kaori Sakamoto got third. Mona Chiba, as we just alluded to, won the short program and was last in the free skate. So she ended up getting fifth. But I'm saying that now and keep going, Ashley.
Context.
Yes. Okay, context. Ashley, you said wait.
Yeah, I want to know what you were going to say.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What was I going to say?
I'm so sorry. I just
no a couple things yeah. a couple of things I'm this was not what I was gonna say but it's of
but
note.
It's something I'm you're gonna say now
yeah
the way that I would rip my top off
uh-huh
for this entry the drums
oh
oh
I was like whose entry but you're talking about the drums they were playing in the arena
yes yeah. that was so cool
yeah what's that it was amazing. It's called it starts with a T the specific drum
oh that's not yeah. gonna come okay. to me yeah. but yes
no it's okay
that was amazing that was so cool that whole set was so cool no I think that truly Alyssa Liu has us all gooped.
I mean, what can you say, right? It's like, I think, you know, I think if we, going into this, if somebody told me a week from now, the results of the Grand Prix final will be done and Alyssa is sixth in this field, I wouldn't bat an eye. She yes. almost mm-hmm. lost to Rinka Watanabe 3 weeks ago and Rinka got sixth here. Like Alyssa did lose to Amber Glenn earlier this season. And I think just Alyssa's like foundational skating skills are not as good as a lot of the women in this field. So had you said she got sixth, I would not have blinked an eye, not because I was cheering for that to happen and not because she's bad, but you know what I mean? Like this field is so good.
It's so deep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And for it's her so to just deep. Kind of, but it, so I'm sitting there. I'm like, I can't believe she's going to win. I can't believe yeah. she's going to win, but I can't also get on a soapbox to defend another result because she's the only one doing two clean programs. It's like, yeah. what can, yeah. I mean,
she has like what her career right now is so interesting because like, I think
fascinating.
Like Ashley, I know that you probably feel the same way I do, where it's like, we look back at all of like the like, oh my God, I'm skating so bad. Like this is, I can't believe this is happening. And then like, we're now like 8+ years out, less than eight, almost 8 years out of competing, where now like you look back at those moments and you're like, it wasn't that serious.
Bad.
It wasn't that bad. And we have that foresight now, like 8 years removed. And I think because Alyssa left, came back on her own terms, she also has the same foresight of like, it's not that serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she obviously like, I think sometimes this gets misconstrued of like, she doesn't give a fuck. You don't skate clean all the time if you don't give a fuck.
Well, right.
Yeah.
She's training, obviously.
Right. But she isn't taking like her results or her skating personally.
Well, they're not defining
her. They're not
her.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
And that is going to be more successful because she's getting out of her own way.
Yeah.
I remember what I was going to say, and this kind of piggybacks on this idea, is that if you were to tell me a couple weeks ago that Mona Chiba would be one of the athletes that we are talking about as a contender for an Olympic title,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And now I genuinely think that she could be. And that really speaks to the depth of the women's field right now, that it could be any of these women.
I don't think
that this
yeah.
Grand Prix
All
final
of them could
title
win it.
Necessarily means anything in particular. I think
in the
it just
singles
means that all these women are amazing.
Yeah, in the singles event in particular, I feel like it's not really very predictive because it is just going to come down to who skates clean at the Olympics.
It will, yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think obviously all six of these women can't go because one of the Japanese women can't go.
Yeah.
But any of the other five could win
right.
the Olympics.
Yes.
And
Ami
there are
Nakai
a couple people that are
champion.
Not here who could win the Olympics.
I like, could see is, Ami winning. Yes. Like, I could see Alyssa winning because Alyssa
no,
has
totally.
Like that mental force. Like, you, so, like, listen.
Alyssa could degaff her way yes. onto an Olympic podium and it's going to piss people off. And I will be standing right there beside her cheering her
it's
on.
It's not
going to
piss
you know
me
what?
Off. If you skate
the
clean programs.
The healthiest way to get onto the podium.
Yes.
It's
exactly.
not going to piss me off to reward someone who skates clean, especially when other people are not.
And
you know, like I think if all five of these women went completely clean, I do not
I
in that situation
she
think she would
yeah.
win. And I think that would be correct. But if she skates clean and nobody else does, then what is there to take away from
Can't
her at
fault
that?
Her
right.
for that?
I mean, she was second in the short, third in the free skate, yeah. and that found her way up to the top. It's not like she got yeah. like over like these crazy scores. It was just how it was sorted out.
Amber and Cowrie both got an invalid element in the short program.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you're looking at that's a huge loss of points. I mean, like Cowrie very easily won this free skate and would have easily won this event had she not popped that jump in the short.
Right. Right.
In my opinion.
I love Cowrie's free skate.
I do too.
My other thing about her, like this is where I was like, people are locked in. I'm like, she is packaged to win the Olympic title. Like,
totally.
The hair.
Every time she steps out on the ice, it's perfection.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a way that it's never been like this before.
She has been messy, messy, messy. And all of a sudden, her hair, perfect. Her costume, stunning. Makeup, for the gods.
Yeah.
Beat face.
She
looks incredible. Like,
they
she's
said
skating.
You're winning the Olympics, and you're going to love your pictures forever.
Yeah. And you're going to wear earrings.
No, I mean.
And they're clip ons.
Yeah. The packaging.
They're not.
Is so good. And I mean, I don't know. Like, I just. She's the best skater in the world. She's the best skater in the world. Like that free skate, I could watch her just do the step sequence for hours. I feel like it's just like the like amount of control that she has in her skating, in like the running edge coming out of her jumps. Like she's the best, period. Yeah. And it's just a matter of if she skates clean and then what happens with the other women who have these big ticket items that could put them over the top. I don't know.
So true.
Right.
But God, I think, what a good I don't feel like event. I have any question
it's gonna
about
be so good.
Who the best
is. I'm so excited for the women's event. I am so excited. And you know what? I do not fucking miss all these stupid fucking quads because it's so exciting without them.
I agree.
Agreed.
I do love, I mean, I love having a few triple axels in here, though. I mean, three of these women doing them. Like, it's really fun to have those. As Ami Nakai did, it's like stunning one. Amber did one of the best ones I've ever seen her do in the free. Like, I mean, these are
And Rinka, like, God love her. She was not gonna like let any. She was not giving anyone an inch.
Rinka is the most determined athlete I think I've ever seen ever.
I know
she is going after that second triple axel no matter what, and I kind of think it's been a disservice to her.
Yeah, honestly, it depends on the day.
I don't think it's helped her this season, but she's like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
And I'm still gonna like isopods.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
No matter what we think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I mean, for the lowest score, total score in this event to be a 207 is like
is insane.
It's amazing.
It's nauseating.
No, it's
I love it.
I love it. I walked away from that and was
so
like
so retired.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I love having a blue
so
tongue.
Retired.
Yeah.
I love sitting at your looking at your stupid blue tongue talking about all these women being so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're skating. You know, it's interesting, and I felt this way across like all disciplines where it's like we had some growing pains getting to this Olympic season. And it felt like, because for a while,
it
felt like
good fast.
Yeah. It adjusted quickly. And it always happens that way where it's like people pull it together when it's the Olympic year. But it felt like for a while, like Cowrie could kind of do anything and win. And that's not the case. And it's not been the case. And it's not that she's gotten worse. It's that everybody has like improved and she's also improved.
Right?
But the whole like it's an amazing competition.
Mm. I loved it. I loved every second of
what
it.
What do you guys
so great.
Think of the Japanese Olympic women's team? I do feel like it will be the top
Ami,
three from the
Kaori, Monet.
It's got to be Ami.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Well, Ami's beaten Kaori twice this season.
Right.
And I don't see any way you leave Kaori, your three-time world champion, off. So those two, in my mind, have to go. And then, you know, Monet, obviously, it's a bad free skate here. I mean, it wasn't even that bad. She fell twice, and then the rest of it was good.
Right.
You know, but like either way, she beat Rinka. So that's sort of the most important part of it, probably
exactly.
for her. So she was on the world podium last year. Like this is.
And she won both her Grand Prix. Like she was skating last. She came into this qualified at the highest.
Yeah. At the top.
At the top.
Yeah. So I think
Did
it's got to be those three.
She was crying during the exhibition, and Ami was giving her a big old hug.
Yes. I saw
no,
that.
No, that's sad. Yeah.
I'm giving her a hug too.
I saw, so I guess that Ami, like as a sort of ritual before she skates, a lot of times will watch Mao Asada's free skate from Sochi.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed
and
with this
Mao
girl.
And Mao was yeah. at the Grand Prix final and mm-hmm. watched her, and one of the Japanese shows like showed her reacting to someone in the mix zone telling her that Mao is here watching, and she like started crying.
Wait, did she lose her mind?
She just started crying. And I mean, the translation that I saw was she was like, that's like a, it's a dream, which is just so, it's so...
Such an Ami fangirl.
I know.
I mean, love Ami.
And obviously a woman of great taste. Watching the Mao Asada Sochi free skate?
Right.
Please.
I know.
And arguably one of the best comeback skates of all time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah, I mean, when I watch Ami, I get chills because I remember like watching people who were teenagers when I was a young kid thinking about getting on the ice myself. I just can't imagine her skating and not like thousands of hundreds of thousands of kids being like, I want to be like that. I can be that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's great. She's good enough to make me forget that she wears flesh mittens.
Me? Exactly. Yes.
I know.
This is something that lives
I
more
finally
rent-free in y'all's
realized
minds
it.
Than mine.
I finally realized it.
Yeah. No, it's so true. You have to be good for me to forget that your hands are covered.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, you're afraid of falling, but whatever. You're not
but
falling.
But you're smiling.
You're mostly
you're
not
smiling.
Falling. Yeah.
You're mostly so. Not.
We'll take it.
Okay. Do we want to talk about pairs?
Sure. So the pairs event was really fascinating.
Fascinating.
Riku Mura, Ryuichi Kihara won the event, followed closely by less than 2 points by Sarah Conti and Niccolò Amici from Italy. And then Minerva Haza and Nikita Volodin from Germany closely behind them. So all of that was within about a 4-point margin on the podium. And I am curious what you all think of this, but my feeling was that the Italian team should have won this event. And we just got done talking about Alyssa, right? The job is to clean programs.
Yeah.
And that's what Sarah and Niccolò delivered. And I don't think that there is a big enough gap, you know, artistically or GOE-wise or whatever you want to call it, between them and the Japanese team to justify putting them behind a team that didn't do 2 clean programs.
Yeah, I agree. Before we continue, I do want to say something. And it's that we got a text message from Kirsten Moore Towers, pairs expert.
We did.
And she said, and I quote... I think Adam should issue a formal apology on the pod to pairs teams for telling them their 3-jump combos suck so much. 4 out of 6 were so good today.
Okay, four out of six is not a great percentage.
Also, yeah, that's 66%, which is a failing grade in most schools. Wait, Adam, are you issuing an apology, though, or you just wanted to read that message?
No, I wanted to read it because I wanted to publicly say I'm not... gonna give an apology because I
okay,
still
but wait,
don't
what if
like
I remind
it.
You that she's super pregnant?
Good. I think that the baby should know that I'm not sorry too.
Yeah, tell everyone. Tell the baby.
Tell her. Hey, Kirsten. Tell your baby I'm not sorry. Tell your unborn baby I'm not sorry.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy is the 4 out of 6 is a much. Feeling it feels like a much improved percentage
yes.
on the season.
That is true. It does.
It does. Absolutely does. A higher than 50% chance of landing that jump. And I will say it did feel sort of like, you know, like being in Vegas and they're like, well, you know, whatever it is, like blackjack. Like it just felt like getting a blackjack every time they would land. You know, I don't gamble. I don't know.
No,
roulette. Oh, they got a roulette. I don't know.
No, I mean, blackjack is actually was an apt metaphor.
Yeah. 21, right?
Very good.
Thank you. I just felt like they were all getting blackjack. It just felt like, oh, that's interesting that they did it.
Yeah, like oh,
great.
That's
how it felt. It didn't feel like I should say sorry. It felt like good.
No, because what you know.
Finally.
Because what you know deep down, as all gamblers do, is even if you get 4 blackjacks out of 6 hands,
you'll
the
still
house
get
always
not.
Wins.
Yeah.
No, the house always wins. The net return on the three jump combo is still going to be bad at the end of the season overall, I think.
Of course, Sarah, don't think too hard.
Is we're an up avid right now. Gambler, just for the audience.
I'm not an avid gambler in my normal day to day, but I do like to gamble in settings where it's appropriate. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And legal.
Yeah, and legal. And thank yes. you, Ashley, for pointing that out, the legality of Sarah's addiction.
Ashley is my lawyer. I thought it was particularly egregious, actually, that they did not win the short program, the Italian yeah. team, because I thought their short was like the, you know what? The pair's short program was the most clarifying 30 minutes of skating that I've watched almost maybe all year. I've felt so like it really clarified for me how I see these teams in relation to one another more than anything else that I saw was just this pair short program, in part because a lot of the pair short programs have like similar vibes.
Yeah.
You know, like the Haza and Volodin doing the tango and then yeah, and the Georgians doing bolero and Conti and Machi doing their kind of, what is it? It's a bowl something. Toro.
Italian. I don't
where they're doing their Italian. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of them have like a similar feeling.
Yes.
They're all in red.
Yeah.
They're red and black. Like, yeah. Exactly. And I felt like, wow, this Italian short program is one of my favorite pairs programs of the season. It is called the Wild Bull, by the way. I wasn't making that up. I just checked. Ashley, what did you think?
Well, I think my theory... Well,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just
No. What I've been thinking, this is kind of a wild theory that has no basis in reality.
Perfect place to share it.
Yes,
yeah, tinfoil hat.
My tinfoil hat. I think we're saving things up.
Yeah, you think they're just gonna flip them and let them win at home?
Yeah. Yep. I think we're doing a little save up.
I mean, I think if you,
which I'm excited,
I think if you
for.
Recreated this event in Milan, they would win.
Oh, yeah. The Italians
win? There's no momentum. There's no question, I think.
Now, I think you build it.
Yeah. Now,
finally, it's undeniable.
If you recreate this event in Milan and Haza and Volodin go clean, and Mira and Kihara go clean, then I don't know what happens.
Yeah.
But if you recreate this exact event the way it went, I think easily the Italians win if they're not in Japan. Or if they're in Italy, more specifically, I guess.
Yeah.
I would even say it's... Sorry, Ash. Go ahead.
No. I think we are building up momentum to give the people what they want. And I think that really the Italians are going to have one opportunity and this is it. And I think that no matter what, they're going to be getting a lot of help there. And that's not to be said, not to say that it would be undeserved, but I think they're really being built up for something.
I think that I feel like the perception of them is that the judges see them as like not a team on the same caliber as the Japanese. And this is an event where we walk away from and we go, no, they absolutely could have won this event. Wait a minute.
But yes. I think that's a good thing that this happened.
Oh, yes. Totally. And it's also, it's tough because the Japanese have been put in a position where it's like, okay, we don't need to be clean and we're still winning these things, even though they know better. But it's like you mentally start to compute and like figure out like what's going on. And the Italians are on this like upward slope of like there's momentum. They're empowered by what they're like doing. And the Japanese, it's just like you could feel it with all of these teams where they've had like, the Georgians, we saw this at Skate America, but here at the final, you could see with the Germans, like the uncharacteristic mistake in the short program by Minerva, that they feel like they're all so close. But there is just this momentum of like, you know, we talked about it at Worlds last year, a hometown advantage. It just, there is an energy in a building magic. Where it's magic.
Oh, 100%. I do think, too, like, I'm starting to feel like if all these teams are completely clean, you know what? I don't know. Like, Haza and Volodin gave me, like, this feeling in the free skate where I was like, if they go completely clean, they could beat anybody. in mm-hmm. if they're clean in both programs. Mm-hmm. And that, like, I mean, we've talked about how, like, you know, especially in the free skate, like, I don't know how much, like, emotional feelings I feel watching them, but in the short, I think they actually have a really effective, great program. I think that tango is, like, good.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Out of all of the things that they've done, this is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. And I don't think that if they go clean, the Japanese can afford these little mistakes against them.
No.
And no. They won't be able to afford it against Sarah and Niccolo in Italy.
I don't think so. No, and especially
if they make these little errors and those other two teams go clean, the Japanese team will get third in Milan, yes. I think, if that's what happens again.
I agree.
I agree.
What about Deanna and Max?
I kind of think they're out of the mix.
It's tough.
I think they've been too messy this year.
It's just a lot of inconsistency. I feel like she said, you know, that these things like don't happen in practice. And I feel for them. I don't know. Like, their short program is one of my favorite programs of the year.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something?
Please.
Say it.
Something I've noticed. I think Deanna wants this so bad. No, like, no shit, right? And yeah. I'm like, and that's all I have to say.
I think she wants it.
I think she wants this so bad. And I think that she's willing to do like whatever it takes to like make her dream come true. And I see somebody who's like so a little bit feels so rigid. And I have a few points to make where it's like, I see this and like, I have to do it because I have to do it. Where it's like, they're doing their side by side toes and they're doing like a three turn step toe. And I see Deanna start to do like three turn step, put her foot down, put it up, put it down. She's like doing some negotiating to like do some.
Negotiating is such a good word.
And she's trying to do like her own timing to make sure she does it. And it's like, hey, girl, you're willing to be not synchronized with your partner because you think it's like the way to go to land. When really it's just like,
do it.
Yeah, just do it. Like, she's, yeah. I can feel her being so rigid.
The brain
in the way
is too turned on.
Yes.
During the performance.
That
right.
Like,
do less.
Yeah.
You need to be doing less.
If they were to relax, and there's still time to find themselves back in that mix. Do you know what I mean? Like, a good Canadians and you know, and will help build momentum. It's like, it's not over. But
no,
it's not over. I feel bad that I said like
no.
I think out of the mix.
They're in an uphill battle. For sure.
It's an uphill battle for sure.
Yeah. No, but I think if Deanna and Max do a lights out short program, mm-hmm. which is their
they'll
stronger
get what
program,
they need.
They're going to be right there.
Yes.
And like then it will be okay. Who's going to skate a clean free skate, and they will be right there in the podium mix.
Woo.
I mean,
Pairsman's gonna be so good.
I know.
Pairs will be good. It will be very good. But I think that's.
I'll tell you who I think is, you know, trending out of the mix too is Metelkina and Berilava, who, like, these repeated inconsistencies, mm-hmm. you know,
oh,
and the way.
His lifts have freaked me out.
Yeah, they're scary.
Yeah, there were some scary moments. Some scary moments. And, like, the way their components were, like, I don't think the judges see them on the level of the other teams.
It's so helpful to really, see everyone together.
So like, they are really going to need
really is.
Mistakes ahead of them, I think, to end up on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I agree. But if there are mistakes, that's when they can swoop in.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
100%. Okay.
I need him to like knit his ribs together when he's lifting her though.
Yeah.
My God. He's doing like a full on drag queen backbend when he's lifting her and it scares the shit out of
me. I need like a resistance band around his ankles where I'm like, those legs, there's like, they're big steps. I mean, I don't know. Oh, like it just, they,
I don't know anything.
I notice them. And on the other pair, like
his
men,
rib
I don't.
Flare scares me. If I was up there, I'd be like, you good down there?
Stop flaring.
Stop flaring them.
You have a flare up.
I do think the best lifts in the events are the Japanese lifts.
Yes.
Most fluid, most speed, most secure.
Easily. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that does really like stand out to me when you watch them skate.
Yeah. And I mean, it does explain why they've have a little bit of like room when they make an error, because the pairs elements, which are the most valuable elements, are the ones that they do the best.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's
they're
where
getting
they
a
get
GOE bump on the ones that have the highest GOE ceiling, which
exactly.
is
exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Should we talk about the dance or the men?
Ashley, you decide.
Yeah.
Let's do the men, because the men, it's really, to me, there's two kind of storylines. I feel like there is the world champion in performance and the world champion in jumping. And I feel like both need to be acknowledged.
Yeah. Okay. So Ilya Malinin won this event by 30 points. He did seven quads in his free skate. It was
insane. But was not
in
the lead in the short.
He was in third in the short.
Mm-hmm. Which was crazy.
Yeah, which was crazy. Yuma Kageyama got second and Shun Sato got third. But yeah, so Ilya comes out and is just like messy in the short program.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a quad axel and he was messy on that. So God forbid.
Right.
A bad short program, as Ashley would say.
A bad short, yeah.
I would have been sobbing, crying if I did this short program like that.
Yeah,
like,
he gets a 94, and Ashley's like, woof.
Oh, bad.
Horrible. Bad. Out of the mix.
At least I caught myself being like, what the fuck?
No, I actually think it's a good indicator of how good all of
good
these skaters
are.
Yes.
Being
yes.
that like something that
they
is actually
is
fine, you're like, whoa, that was bad. It wasn't at all.
Like how privileged we are.
Yeah. Blessed.
How blessed we are to be this stressed.
But yeah, so Yuma Kageyama won the short program. He did like a very happy dance in the
cry. His dad though being like chill.
Yeah. He almost hit him with his cane.
Yes,
sit
because
down.
He was like, winners don't react like this. You need to.
I mean, yeah, you look like you've never been here before.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You need to act like play this a little cooler, please.
I know. Yeah. He was like, be cool, dude.
Don't be so surprised you landed the jumps.
That was very Wagner family of him.
Yeah. Car
I
ride
knew
home.
Exactly what was happening.
Yeah, don't cry until the car ride home and don't be happy either.
No, right, don't celebrate.
Joy, less of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Emotions
so cute.
Don't show them.
None. That was so cute. God, that short program is so good.
I love the short program. I think it's like fun. I mean, it's obviously more fun when you do it cleanly, right? It's like it's great to watch. Like it's great.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more fun when your dad gets mad at you for being so happy.
I know.
So Ilya, I guess let's do Ilya in general. You know, he's 14 points behind in the short program because he has multiple mistakes, and then he wins by 30. You know, it's a 45 point swing essentially just with one program because there are seven quads in it. And, you know, these like insane combinations, like I think the last thing that he did was a quad sal triple axel was the last jump.
The last jump.
So, I mean,
again, nauseating.
It's insane. I don't.
It's crazy.
There's nothing you can say. Like, it's just I don't know. I will say like it's the last minute of that program is awesome. It's, I mean, it's just he does thing after thing after thing. And I'm saying thing because they're not all elements, right? He's doing like the backflip. He's doing the raspberry twist. He's doing the quad sal triple axel. He's doing
he's
pumping
things.
His fist.
He's doing
like,
shit.
He's doing like tricks for the audience. And they're so into it by the end. Like everyone's so bought into it. Like I had chills when he was done.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I was just like, this is amazing. This is amazing. Yeah.
No, it's awe inspiring. He is the only person in the world, in this generation ever.
Yeah.
And I think now or ever to be able to do this. Like he's a once in a lifetime, once of all time athlete to ever be able to do that. Like you can't even put words to it because I truly don't ever think we'll see an athlete like him ever again. It's insane.
I mean, I never thought we'd see an athlete like this. I can't believe we are. I will say that, like, I think, like, we can be, like, more critical, and, you know, especially when you see him, like, back-to-back with Yuma, who, like, Yuma is, like, when you could think of, like, the most ideal... Yep. looking program, the most ideal looking like Olympic champion skater, like you think mm-hmm. of like that, and then to see like Ilya right after that, and it's like holy shit, Ilya was out of this world. Ilya was out of this world. He is not your classic skater,
no,
but he has some like point of view of like some sort of like artistic expression that he is trying to get out there. Like he is expressing himself in the way that he best knows how. And it really resonates with a lot of like non-skating people. It really hits
home. I mean,
home.
And skating people too.
I mean, yes.
Like we watch this and we're like, what are we watching? It's insane.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I yeah, I got repeat what Sarah was saying was like, I got chills.
Yeah.
This was mm-hmm. like an Olympic champion kind of skate.
Yeah. No, 100%. It reminded me a lot of in 2015 in Barcelona when Yuzu did that crazy Grand Prix final free skate, which mm-hmm. at the time was like the best program ever. He did, I think, 4 quads in it. You know, who cares now?
Oh, pedestrian.
Running 7 now. Okay. But I remember Yuzu like hitting his ending pose and like breathing in this, like the face that he was making as he was like kind of starting to catch his breath and bow was this like almost mad, like defiant face at the end.
Yeah.
And I always like got so fired up watching Yuzu do that because I was like, God, yes. Like you know what I mean? He makes me feel like I was doing that with him, kind of.
Like, you could go, like, climb a mountain.
And, yeah, and Ilya was making that same sort of facial expression when he finished this program. And actually, he finishes the program almost exactly like that set, that program that Yuzu cool. used to do, the yeah. same A program. And I had this, like, flashback, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, it's...
I know.
Crazy. It's cool. I just don't know how anyone can beat him. I just don't think anyone can, and they won't.
Yeah.
They won't.
They won't.
And so that kind of leads to the memory of talking about how amazing your skating quality is. I mean, like, Yuma's skating, and that's the thing that is kind of unfortunate. Like, he will not beat
no
Ilya. He won't.
Unless Ilya has to have a disaster, which
he has to.
You know, anything can happen on the day, but Ilya has not given us a lot of indications that he's going to have a disaster. And so, and that's what would be required. I do think with Yuma, you know, some of it is, you talk about I hesitate to even say this because don't come for me. But, like, you talk about a person like Michelle Kwan, right, who doesn't ever win the Olympics, mm-hmm. but has these moments that people just really remember, like these programs that stand out in your mind, sometimes just as much as the Olympic champions programs. You know what I mean?
This is one of those
And
programs.
I think this is one of those. And I, like, kind of, I was, like, tearing. I always, like, get a little teary at the height of the music, at, like, towards the end of the program. And I was thinking that. I was, like, you know, he's not going to win the Olympics, I don't think. But... This is the program that a lot of people will remember, or a program that a lot of people will remember for a long time, just as much mm-hmm. as they remember what Ilya is doing on the jumps. You know what I mean? And
totally.
I think that's amazing. And I just really hope he does it cleanly, because we haven't seen it yet at its full power.
And you know, I think, like, at the beginning of this season, I remember thinking, like, I wonder how I would feel if, like, because I'm watching this Yuma program that makes me, like, feel something really deeply. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how I feel if, like, he skates that clean and it goes behind Ilya. And I think that, like, at this point, I would be completely fine. I would feel fine. And I would feel like they are both amazing. And I would still feel like I wouldn't feel like anybody was ripped off. I wouldn't feel like I wish the results were any other way. I think I would, which I know everyone is really worried about. Will you be at peace? Me.
Yeah.
I am.
I would be at peace with it, because I would go, like, what more do you want from either of them? Like,
Yeah.
That's how I was thinking.
But I almost wonder if he's arriving at that too, because look at how he's been skating this season.
Much better.
Much better. I feel like he's wrapped his head around something in a completely different way. Because you have to wonder, he's been chasing this idea of being second best for seasons now.
Right.
And that's really tough for it. No athlete goes into being okay with second best.
Yeah.
That's not why we but do I this. Think that's not how we're wired.
But maybe he, to your point, has found a different goal of like, I'm going to be the best artistic performer in this sport, period. Mm-hmm. And he has a woman working with him who sits in the Kiss and Cry with him, who was a lot like that. Like there came a time in Carolina Costner's career when she could not win. I mean, you know, she won a world title, but like there came a time when she wasn't going to win. And she still was like the best at what she could do the best.
At what she did.
And it didn't take anything away from her.
And I feel like that is kind of the territory he's starting to enter because, I mean, what choice does he have? And and then, I think, Adam, like we would all be at peace because this is the way it's set up. And then we can ask ourselves larger questions about, is this the way we would want a scoring system set up for figure skating? Like, do we want artistry capped at 100 points when somebody can get a tech score of 150?
Right, exactly.
I don't know. But in the current shell of how it exists, like, I think we just have to live with it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And you know what? Like, to that point, it's just like, again, like, Ilya's a good skater too. Like, I know that there's a lot of people who like are, it's just a jump clinic. I don't feel that way. I really don't. Like, he's doing these difficult transitions in and out of everything. I think he's just like a very modern looking skater, and it's not classic, and it's like it's so different from Yuma, which it makes them even more amazing as competitors.
Yeah.
And if it's just a jump clinic, consider me a learned woman.
I consider you a learned woman. Yeah, a schooled woman.
I don't think it's just a jump clinic. I do think there are some natural limitations on the program artistically because of the jump content. And I don't think that they should be within a half a point on PCS, which they are. I don't think that. I'm not saying Ilya should be getting a 50 out of 100. But I think like to have them that way, when Yuma doesn't have a program, Yuma has a program that's designed to maximize artistry.
Right.
And Ilya doesn't.
Because, I mean, you know, it's just scored that, because it's exactly like, what do you want to give him? A 5? Like, you can't.
I don't want to give him a 5, but I think you could give him an 8 instead of a 9. I do. And that's not me being like, he sucks. That's just, you know, in the relativity of it all. But Mikhail Shaidarov's total score at this event was about Ilya's free skate score. And I really, first of all, that's insane. But second of all, Shaidarov really going through it here.
Just
returning to his old short program, which I think is a good step.
I like
for
it.
Him.
Yeah. It didn't go well here, but I like the program.
I do too.
The free skate is like insane. It's like I imagine like the worst trip of all time.
Free skate is
the one he should have switched.
Yeah. But
he's just going through it.
He was jumping so close to the microphones, and I was texting with you guys. Like, you could hear his landings, and they sounded like roller skating landings. Like, he was just so flat on his blades. He's just, like, throwing himself.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Speaking of, so, like, in Japan, it's the ice that we would skate on. It's called tank ice because it's just – it's built, like, they lay it over and – why is it called tank ice? Basically, it's, like, over a swimming pool, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and sometimes with tank ice, you get this extra like spring or bounce from the ice. I don't know why can't.
It's really hard ice to skate on. It's really fast ice. It's also really brittle ice.
Yes.
So it chips a lot. It can be a little bit unpredictable. I always found it really challenging to skate on. And you can find yourself in trouble with jumps, particularly.
Yes, because it will throw your timing off. Like, it will totally throw your timing off because you do get this, like, extra bounce. But somebody who, like, it really, you could, I could see, like, the like they need to skate on tank ice every competition was Daniel Grossel. I've never seen these jumps, like, boom.
I know.
Clean.
Boom.
I was like, damn.
You got second in the free skate.
I know.
Wait. You guys, so have you seen this parody account?
Oh, of course.
On Twitter?
Nothing okay. GOEs. Of course.
Yes.
Please.
Shout out to them.
So they tweeted saying Pope excommunicates Daniel Grossel.
From the
Wait,
Catholic
did you
Church?
See did you see the one that they did where it's like Raphael Artunian looking for PR expert in Irvine, California?
Wait, that's so funny because all of his alt-right students.
I know. Oh my God. I was thinking about it. I'm like, Raphael's running his own little like Channel One down there. Like, what is going on? Oh, the propaganda.
I think it's Orange
Wait,
County,
Sarah,
though.
Sarah, I Orange didn't County. Get the chance to tell you this, but I call up Raph when it's like official that he's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame and I'm congratulating him. Yeah. And he's like, oh, thank you, buddy. But anyway, you know what I want? I want a picture of you and Adam and Nathan. And I was like, oh, okay. He goes, you should make that happen for me. You should organize this for
okay.
me. Go, okay.
Okay.
I don't live near you.
Assigning
None of us
labor.
Do.
Well, isn't Nathan getting inducted in St. Louis? I feel like you
know,
could organize that.
No, I need to figure this out, but it's my job to do this.
It sounds like a very important job. I mean, who are you to deny a Hall of Famer his wish?
No, I
know. Who are you to deny a Hall of Famer his last left-wing students?
I know. So we have to do that for him, though, because he's done so much for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the best.
But yeah, amazing event. I mean, very amazing event for Daniel Grossel.
Yeah. Also, like Shun Sato, like he's another one kind of tapped into like doing his own thing, finding himself on the podium.
Just staying as clean as he can stay. And
can we also mention that Shun Sato is kind of like the last remaining normal old school men's skater, like of
like
the
in the
program
packaging,
vibes?
The costuming, the classical music. Like,
yeah.
You're right.
Well, the costumes are like, it's 2010.
Yes.
You're
yes.
running late.
Totally.
Yeah.
I have those costumes. Yeah. I've worn those costumes. They're one piece. They feel like pajamas. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Life is good.
No, yeah, you're right, though. It's like of a bygone era.
Era.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. And
his coaches... hilarious.
Yes, his coach is amazing.
So funny.
So enthusiastic.
He's mortified by his coach.
They're doing opposite of Yuma and his dad.
Yeah.
Yuma's
yeah.
dad
he's
is
sitting
like
there
sit
being
down.
Like shut yeah. the fuck.
Yuma's dad is going a decent skater sits and relaxes and then Shun goes a decent coach shuts their mouth when we get our marks. No, they're so
he's
funny.
He's not getting paid next week.
He should be. I mean,
he should be. He was so good.
I mean, Shun is basically, to me, guaranteed a spot at the Olympics. Like, I'm,
surely.
So, you know,
he has to be.
He's on the podium at the Grand Prix final. Like,
he's Mr. Reliable himself.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
All right. Do we need to talk about Hot Mess Express?
You're talking about the ice dance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Or, well, I mean, any event where an athlete's pet is publicly commenting.
No, we need to talk about that.
On Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
No, we need to talk about that because I have a lot of feelings.
Yeah. My one feeling is my pets have never commented.
And they shouldn't. And they shouldn't.
No. Okay. But all right.
Let's say what happened. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think let's split this into two things. We should talk about the top two teams and then we should talk about three and four. Mm-hmm. I think fifth and sixth, Reed, Amber Levichitz and Zingis and Kolesnik both skated well. And I expected to be in exactly the places that they are in. Great for them to be at the Grand Prix final. And like, we'll leave that there, I think.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
So Madison Chalk and Evan Bates won this event by about 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect that.
Yeah,
I didn't
thought
either.
That they could win, but I yes. didn't think it would happen by a large margin.
Mm-hmm. Now, who was second, Sarah?
Laurence Fournier-Boudry, Guillaume Cizeron, who they had two deductions in their free dance. She mm-hmm. had like a weird fluky fall where she like her skirt got caught under her blade. It wasn't on an element, so it really could have been a lot more costly than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got called for an extended lift. So they had like a minus two. But they also lost the rhythm dance by a little over a point, and they were clean in that. So I think that was more interesting to me
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. It's hard to judge when there's errors, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What like the judges mean. What did you guys think like watching this? You know, obviously I think we all watched it after we knew the results because it happened in the middle of the night. What did you think?
I watched the ice dance event as an uneducated viewer.
You say that, like, but like what more you know education more than you, could you have?
Yeah, I think you know well, more than you think you know.
That's fair, but I guess I'm just kind of sitting here being like, we've been talking about how close this is going to be and how this is kind of an opportunity to see how Chalk and Bates are going to fare against this team and see if they really are undefeatable. And then all of a sudden, you know, we've hyped it up to be this big battle and then to be 6 points ahead. I'm surprised, I guess. It just didn't feel like it was that challenging for them. And I didn't see that coming.
Okay.
Yeah. Adam?
That's my
I think that, like, when we watch them back to back, when we see the French versus the Americans, I think there's been so much talk of the levels and the skaters really needing to just spell it out for the judges with this. These are the turns I'm doing. This is the level I'm going for. Just, like, clarity, clarity, clarity. I think, like, at least I think Maddie Chalk, there's not another skater in the world whose like legs are locked solid straight, showing exactly what she's doing. Like, what she's doing is very meticulous. It's very easy to, it's very deliberate. She, yep. I think, is the most deliberate skater in the entire world, where it's like, you're never wondering what turn she's doing. You're never wondering what position she's in. She has some of the most beautiful positions, and she's the most deliberate on the ice. And I see that, like, in the way that the sport is being judged, you need to be incredibly deliberate in what you are doing to basically be like, hey, I'm doing a level four. Give me a level four.
Yeah.
And I see that how, because she's so deliberate, it pays off in the levels that they get. There's no question. There's no wiggle room in the way that she performs a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, Evan is also a very good skater too, but Maddie specifically, it's like nobody is as deliberate as she is, like visually. Like there's no other skater. She's not the deepest. She's not the most powerful, but she's right. The most deliberate. And that's what seems to be the most important thing right now. I think when I was watching Laurence and Guillaume, I obviously like the skating was incredible. The performance was beautiful. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what to, like, I don't know what to say, because I also feel like this big 6 point gap is like, there's only so much that they can do with the components when there is a fall. Like, they need to take away from the components. So it's one of those things where it's like, I wonder what would have happened if everyone was clean.
Yeah.
But this obviously plays in Maddie and Evan's favor to when we walk away, when all is said and done, you won the Grand Prix final by 6 points.
Yeah. I mean, you're right though, Adam. Like, I think you have this like minus two, you know, on Laurence and Guillaume. You add those two back, right? And then you, in theory, add back some of the components that they lost the components by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And you, in theory, add some of those back when there's no fall.
Yes.
And then you're looking at a situation where they're quite close.
Yes.
And I thought, after Maddie and Evan won the rhythm dance, I was kind of like, maybe they're just setting, they want this to be close, so they will have Maddie and Evan win the rhythm dance. They'll have Guillaume and Laurence win the free dance, and then it'll be really close. And I don't know who will win, but like they'll do that, where they'll split it so that it's like, who knows what will happen at the Olympics.
Right.
But then they couldn't do that because she fell.
Right.
And I don't know if that's what they were going to do, but at first I was thinking maybe.
Well, is there a universe where this could be something similar to what happened? Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this kind of what happened with Tessa and Scott and Meryl and Charlie, where they had them kind of like flip flop, where going into Olympics, was it Tessa and Scott won Grand Prix final and then Meryl and Charlie ended up taking Olympics?
I can't remember for sure, but that's what happened to Guillaume and Gabby and Tessa and Scott in 17-18. So it's super possible that you're correct. I'm just not remembering in detail.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
That has there is definitely a precedent for that.
Yeah.
Where like the Grand Prix final is like a bone before the Olympics. Right. I don't know if that's the situation we are in.
Meryl and Charlie, they in that Olympic season, Meryl and Charlie were like consistently beating Tessa and Scott, and they won the final. But by like a less than a point and a half. It was like incredibly close.
It was really close.
This was in the 2014 season?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. I just don't know how to evaluate it. I mean, this is an amazing result for Maddie and Evan.
Yes.
No question. Like, they went out and skated their programs, and they skated them well. I thought their rhythm dance looked less slow than it looked at Skate America.
Mm-hmm.
Still slower, certainly, than Laurence and Guillaume look. But, you know, and their free dance continues to be, I think it's a good piece for them. You know,
yeah.
They're, like, skating it well, and it works.
And it's getting better.
But when we talk about, like, you need to be deliberate, it's if you have an overextended lift, it's like you're letting the music take over. But when you're so deliberate, everything is on time. Everything is exactly where you said it would be. Every edge is exactly what you said it would be. There's no like overcoming of a I had to hold the edge longer because it just like the violin was sweeping. And it's just like you can't afford any of those like little, like you take a little bit of the heart out to get
you
the
do.
Points out.
Mm-hmm.
You do. I do. You know, I feel more in watching Laurence and Guillaume's free dance
I
than
love
I feel
that free
watching.
Dance.
I mean, you know, they create these just kind of stunning visuals
I
with
mean, it's,
their skating.
Yeah.
It's truly, you know what I was thinking is it's so unbelievable that Guillaume, who is one of the best ice dancers we've ever seen, has somehow managed to find two partners who match him so well and who are so close to his skill level. Like, that's incredible that he's able to do that. That's wild.
Lucky.
It's lucky. It's lucky.
It is also crazy that, like, we've been, like, bitching and moaning about Maddie Chalk's skirt, and then it's Laurence's skirt.
I mean,
gets her in trouble. Like, that's,
no, yeah.
She's the last skirt I would have thought that
totally.
You'd be tripping over.
Totally. I think that's why
did
I
said, you see
it's
her
so
knee
fluky.
In the kiss and cry?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, she fell hard.
That knee in the kiss and cry was like, she's not going to, she's going to make sure the blood is dripping on the ground before she touches it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's,
she's ignoring that.
I don't see it. I can't see it. She's losing like an ounce of blood.
Blood?
I'm sorry. Excusez-moi, blood? S'il vous plaît, slap a bitch.
Meine Blut ist meine Blut.
Yeah. So I still don't know like what prediction I would make for the Olympics off of this. I really don't.
None.
There's
I feel like this again means nothing.
Yeah. It's
Except when it comes to 3-4.
Well, let's talk about 3-4. So,
well, when we're talking about the free dances, Sarah, go ahead. I'm cutting you off.
No, it's okay. I mean, I was just going to say who got third and fourth.
So it
do
was.
Do you want me to say that, or do you want to say that?
No, you've been saying the results, and it
yeah,
just
you've been
it feels
saying
so
it.
Good.
Can you keep saying
I'm sorry.
It? You're
okay,
good at
so,
it.
Um, Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier got fourth after being third in the rhythm dance.
Mm-hmm.
Lila Fear and Lewis Gibson got third after being fourth in the rhythm dance. So they swapped places.
Mm-hmm.
And Piper in particular, along with Carol Lane, her coach, mm-hmm. have been doing a campaign ever since.
Well, and Piper's dog.
On the internet. Yeah, I'm counting Piper as Piper's dog.
Well, and Piper's husband.
And Piper's husband as Piper as well. Yeah, no, there's a... They are doing a, like, social media campaign about them getting cheated at this event.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... I'm not even really putting words in their mouth. Like, that sounds extreme, but that is essentially what's, like, being said. And she, Piper, like, tagged the ISU in a quote about integrity. Like, it,
mm-hmm.
it's a little ugly.
Yeah.
And it's getting a little personal in some cases, calling out individual skaters like Lila and Lewis, calling out individual coaches like Marie France. Like,
that's what I've been so surprised by.
I don't think it's a great look.
I agree with what she's upset about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Personally.
You can totally see where she's coming from.
I agree. But then I saw one comment in particular where someone was saying that this is like Marie France is the new...
Linichuk.
Oh God, what?
Yeah.
Linichuk.
Yep.
And she commented saying she's so much worse. And I was like, what are you doing?
Well, no. And it's like, you know, I think everybody has kind of, not everybody, but some people have rightly pointed out that, you know, there are three lead coaches in Montreal and only one of them is Marie France. Mm-hmm. And like, we don't need to villainize the one woman in the situation when we know that, you know, the men are taking part in whatever politicking is happening. All the coaches are taking part in it, right? So it's like, we don't need to single out.
It's also a completely different international environment. They have a 95% of the dance environment. Mm-hmm. So I just think that the political dance environment is completely different.
Yep.
And it's naturally going to be shifted in their favor. Is that fair? No.
No.
Is it what it is? Yes. But I agree so much. I think that Piper and Paul were better.
Yeah.
I think they were better in the free dance.
Okay.
What's funny about this result is I think that Lila and Lewis should win the rhythm dance over them. And I think they should lose the free dance to them and lose overall to them. And that's the opposite of what they did.
Yeah.
But I think that Piper and Paul have a rhythm dance material problem. And I think Lila and Lewis, like, they skated back to back and I was like, whoa, the energy level is so different. And like Lila and Lewis have you eating out of the palm of their hand, and the rhythm dance, like vibe, the 90s thing, it just suits their style of skating a bit more.
That's so true.
So I think Lila and Lewis are the stronger rhythm dance team this year, but the free dance is, it's indefensible.
Their Piper and Paul's free dance is my tinfoil hat. Like this, I think that's the best free dance of the event.
To me, it's
my favorite free dance of the season. I would have been completely fine if they won the free dance.
Agreed.
That's not fully how I feel, but that's the best I've seen them skate it.
Yes.
And I like this program, and it doesn't ultimately, like, you know, it. I don't think they have a material problem the way that I said about the rhythm dance. Like, it's not my very favorite program, but that doesn't mean I hate it. It's just, but this is the best I've seen them skate it all year, where I was like moved by it again in a way that I hadn't been since 5 years ago when they skated it before.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch them just lose, I don't know, like they were cleaner, they were better.
Yes.
They were just better. They were better. And that's what feels.
But now I'm going to say something else where it's like, listen, what do I think like Marie France and Patch and like the whole crew is doing? I don't think that they're like coming into the rink with like giant bags of money going, okay, who's coming here today? Let's give them some wads of cash. That's, I don't believe that that's what's happening. I don't think that that's what's happening.
They just have access to everybody.
I think that what they are doing is that they're incredibly proactive of getting response and getting feedback from as many people as possible to make sure that their students are equipped with as much knowledge as possible to be as good as they can be at these events. And I think that they have those resources to be able to do that. That being said, Piper and Paul are from one of the biggest skating federations in the entire world. They are the only dance team that has, at this point, podium potential.
They're the only skating entry that has a legitimate podium chance at the Olympics.
Out of every discipline from Skate Canada, yes. Get off your ass, Skate Canada, and your coaches. Piper and Paul, get them off their ass too and have them start calling people. Get feedback. If you already know that you're up against like somebody who has access to 95% of the dance world easily, then you need to like combat that and go like, hey, we saw this. Why is this being judged this way? Why are we getting these scores? Mm-hmm. What can we do to improve? Like if you're willing to go, hey, I'm going to be like up against the grain. And I know that like we're going up against this like juggernaut school that has access to all this information. Yeah. Then you've got to be like on top of it. You need to have the answers. You need to have like the reaching out to the judges. You need to know that. Like, now it's like too late to be going, well, this isn't fair. You knew that you were at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
You knew that. How could you not know
and
you, that?
And saying that it's not fair does not change how unfair it is. And by pointing out that it's unfair, let everyone else point out how unfair
totally.
It is for you.
Thank you, Ashley.
Like, you pointing out how unfair it is a really bad move. Tagging the ISU is a really bad move. And I support her. I agree with them. I think that what happened is so unfair. Leave your dogs out of it.
Truly leave your dogs out of it. I mean, yeah, I agree with you, Ashley.
When it was her husband, like her also husband that, I was commented. Like, fine, like leave it. But like, I was fine when it was that. I would say now, as like someone who I would say sees her as a friend, like leave it, wrap it up, take a step
back.
Wait,
can you guys please tell me like along the lines of what the dogs said?
Okay, this is what it is. I'm going to read it to you. Okay. This is a comment on Instagram by somebody else's dog. This is a dog account.
Yeah, it's another dog
this
account.
This is a dog account that is not Piper's dog, okay? Wrote this comment. I'm going to read it to you. This is Oliver, the golden doodle, wrote this, okay?
And I think this is the last episode we'll ever do. Because
this
how
is
do
our finale,
we top
actually.
This? Yeah.
No, okay,
how do
so
you top
Oliver the
Oliver
Golden,
the golden Doodle? Good night, everyone.
Oliver the Golden Doodle says, "The quality of Piper and Paul's edges, their overall skating skills, and the emotional depth of their performance were so clearly superior to the British team. It is sad that they're robbed. No faith in these judges and the blatant favoritism toward one particular coaching center is gross and shameful. These amazing athletes have given so much to the sport and deserve ethical judging." Oliver.
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof. Oliver wrote that. And then Scout my doodle, Piper's
good night
dog.
I mean, I'm quite
Scout my doodle. Replies to this comment and says, "I stand with Oliver."
Yeah, here, as someone
but
who
whose dogs are those?
Scout is Piper's dog. I stand with, like,
here, I'm just gonna tell you quite frankly what is gonna happen. So I had judges come up to me after I shit talked judges about how they judged me.
When was this?
Post nationals,
9/11.
Okay.
Post 9/11.
Post nationals in 2018.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And basically said that it felt like a slap in the face. That they felt like it was incredibly disrespectful after all the years of hard work they had put into supporting my career. Yada yada yada. So there's just no world where any criticism directly towards the judges, the ISU, is ever taken with like an introspective lens. And so right. I think what Adam is saying is the best approach of like, okay, you know what? You're right. The cards are stacked against us. Let's
what are we going to do about
utilize it? Our resources and figure out what we can do about it. That's yeah. the only way I to mean, move forward.
I think
and,
like,
and stop commenting.
Yeah. I just think the easiest way to lose sympathy is to demand it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, I was a sympathy demander, and guess like, what? I never got it.
It's the easiest way to lose it.
For me.
Yeah, because so I so would be inclined to be pissed off on Piper's behalf if she was not telling everyone they need to be pissed off, right? And it's like, I am frustrated. I am. But I think we all are on the same page about we right, think Piper and Paul should have gotten third at this event. But like,
but now I'm mad at her for getting scout involved.
You can't do this.
Involved.
This campaign is like, you need to be above this.
Right.
Like, you need to make one comment, a real one, in the mix zone that is like, we don't understand these scores and we know we're skating better than our scores indicate. Keep it about you. And right. we are going to continue to skate as well as we know how to skate, and we're going to continue to improve our programs, and we hope that the next time we are out here that our scores reflect more accurately what we are doing on the ice. Done. You don't say another word.
PR expert.
Yeah,
you don't
I
say
mean,
another word. You act like flippant. Like, these people don't know what they're doing. We know what we're
right.
doing.
These people
they
are
don't know
idiots.
What they're doing, but we know
I'm
what we're
gonna
doing.
I'm going to go back to work.
But and this is about me. Like, this is not about,
it's about
this is
me.
Not about Lila and Lewis.
That's like, where it feels so where it's like
this, Lila and Lewis have done
nothing
wrong.
Nothing wrong.
And they are nice people, as far as I can tell, pretty well liked. So it's a bad target, right? Like, don't. Right. And Lila and Lewis, like, this, I know it was written by Oliver, but this agreeing with someone who's like taking a shot at the emotional depth of Lila and Lewis's program, it's like Lila and Lewis aren't trying to do something emotionally deep. They are being who they are. And I think people respect them for that. Mm-hmm. Whether, and they've never pretended to be something else. Like, they do what they're good at. Leave them alone. Do right. what you need to do.
Get your coaches on the fucking phone and get some feedback. Get yeah. people to rally around your material. That's what I don't understand. And maybe they aren't. There's no way that they are.
My sense is that, you know, we talk about Maddie and Evan being like having this success playing the game of like they got all this feedback at the beginning of the year and immediately implementing it, right? Mm-hmm. And my sense mm-hmm. about Piper and Paul, and I'm saying this is a sense, it's not a fact. I don't know it for sure. But my sense about them is that they don't want to do that, change their mm-hmm. material, get the feedback, because they are more like artists and
right.
we have a vision and we feel like that's more important than playing along. And it's like, well, you can make that decision, but when other
it
people
comes
play
at a
along
price.
And you don't, you have yes. to know that your threshold for being successful will then be higher if you want to be special. Mm-hmm. And you can make that choice.
And that's annoying.
That's annoying, but like you can make that choice and you need to accept that you made it.
Right. And I think at the end of the day, we need to remember that like it's like it, if ice dance is a sport, it's being judged upon the criteria that's in front of us. It's like sport meets art, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's this component of what makes this a sport. Do you know what I mean? It's like what you put out there on the ice. But if it's going to be judged, I think, like, you know, I like to believe that, like, I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, but the people who are judging this are trying to do their best as well. I don't think anybody is going out there with, like, ill intent being like, I'm going to fuck over these people. I don't think you have to believe that. And it all happens so quickly, right? When they're out there and they're judging. But when somebody makes it so clear exactly what they're doing, they've reached out for feedback. You've seen that. You've confirmed that these things are going to get these levels. It makes it much easier to judge.
Yeah.
And that's the way that it works. And it's like you're from a federation that is huge and so powerful. One of the most powerful like federations in the entire skating world. You're the only one who has podium potential. Get everyone like rallying around you. Like it
yeah,
just seems
something.
Like they're just sort of like, I don't know what to do. We'll just see what happens. That's what yeah. it feels like.
Yeah. I do think like if you're gonna, to your point, Adam, like if someone is going out and like we're going to screw them over, you better know that that's happening before you suggest that it is.
Yeah.
Because I think that that just comes off really like sore loser behavior.
It does. Yes.
If you know somebody's doing something against you specifically, not like some conspiracy in the ether, which is what I feel like we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Then you should say that and you should talk about it and you should report it. But if you don't know that.
But in fairness, they're also coming off of, wasn't their last event? Didn't she take to the notes app and
Finland
and express frustration about levels? Like
she did.
I think she's coming from a place of frustration already with just the system. That being said,
it's just the wrong way to go about it.
And like a lot of people are frustrated with the system. Like we talked about this on the podcast. Like a lot of people have talked about it.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's like we were talking about with the men though, right? This is the system. So make peace with the system you're in and figure out a way to be the best you can be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Work smarter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I still think they have a chance to be on the Olympic podium.
I agree.
They were a whisker away from it right here. So I don't think that is out of reach for them. And I wish that they would stop acting like it is, like it's already been taken away.
Well, it just really just stop the steal is what it feels like. Like,
yes,
come on.
Stop the steal.
Stop the steal. Stay in line. Stop the steal. Stop the count. Like,
stop
that's
the
like,
count.
You guys.
Yeah. I know.
Just let everybody else do this work for you.
Correct.
Play the game.
Play the game.
And the game is that the skaters don't do their own politicking.
No.
That's the game. So, like, you need to call in some reinforcements. You have them. You know?
Right.
And it doesn't need to be.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah. Hello, Mike.
Michael Jordan is who we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, but like Carol, right? It's like, I sincerely hope that Carol Lane is doing more than retweeting things that are like shady towards, you know,
that's
Laurent
also
Saint-Guion.
so unprofessional, by the way.
That's
insane work. You're a coach. Get on the phone with the judges and off of the fucking computer.
Yeah. And also don't like Carol retweeting something about Guillaume and Laurence. It's like, girl, that's not the target you need to be focused on
That's not.
Like, they're going to outskate your team. Like, they're going to outskate everybody. So, you know, like, they are outskating everybody. Don't take aim
at
them.
Pick a different target.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
It never goes well for people, anybody, across any sport, no matter who the athlete is. It never goes well. It never bodes well for an athlete retweeting, like, mean-spirited things about their competitors. It's a tale as old as fucking time.
Twitter.
I don't care if your dog does it, your husband does it, your coach does it, or you do it yourself. No one should be doing it on your behalf.
No. No.
Focus.
It's just not like if I would be playing like I did my best and it's just we want better scores. I think we deserve better scores. But like
we're topical though.
Yeah.
I just saw an episode of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Go on.
Where Jen Shah.
Criminal.
Liked a tweet.
I remember this.
Saying something about one of the wives calling her son a little sissy bitch.
It's Meredith's son, right?
Yeah. And she was like, I didn't like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, don't I like it. Tweets. It
don't
will
like
only
tweets.
Get
no.
you in trouble.
Every time.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. So,
anyway, we have tickets to our show.
We do.
Nationals.
No, yes. I mean,
we're
great
sold
segue.
Out on Saturday. Actually, you can't see us on Saturday.
We are
but
sold
you
out
can.
On Saturday.
We have a handful of tickets left for our Thursday show. Less available on Friday, but still a couple on Friday as well. So if you are in town, we'd love to see you.
Yeah.
Couple seats.
The link
left.
Is in our Instagram bio to buy tickets. Buy them, bring your friends. We're like getting ready to line up some guests that I think everybody will be very excited about. So we can't wait. We can't wait.
We can't wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grand Prix final in the books. I can't believe we're almost, the Olympics are in 2 months.
That's insane.
They're in 8 weeks.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Giddy up.
I just started getting my like research, my weekly research packets for the show that I'm working.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They're like 42 pages long.
Well, I mean,
start reading, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm illiterate.
Well, I stand with Oliver.
She can't read anymore.
I stand with Scout.
I stand with Scout. Scout and Oliver. Scout and Oliver, the biggest pot stirrers in Ice Dance 2025.
Yeah. Crazy.
Well,
on that
and
note.
With that, then. Thanks, everyone. We will be back next week.